Do sit down, please. Well, we need a survival guide, according to the Times and Citizen. Not in this case for the credit crunch, or at least not mainly, but for Christmas. So here you are. Christmas survival guide. This Christmas, don't panic, just press. I presume it's the panic button here that's Rudolph's red nose. Actually, of course, Christmas is quite dangerous. I read in the paper this morning that Christmas trees injure 1,000 people every Christmas. Now, Charlie's missed last night, I know, when it fell over in the vicarage. But equally, Christmas decorations are very dangerous as well. According to the Times and Citizen, though, Christmas is to be endured, but at least it will soon be over. And ladies, according to this, you can become a scarlet woman. I won't show you the page. There are toys for good girls and boys and groovy gifts for guys. Our Christmases, when I was young, weren't actually so bad that we needed a survival guide. Aunties Millie and Helen, Dad's two unmarried sisters, used to come up from London. They were quite rich. I mean, they wore fur coats. Mum never had a fur coat in her life. Mum cleaned a lot before they came. They then proceeded to clean again when they were up. They kept Dad in a good mood, and that was a big plus. And they were fun. They joined in all the games. Except, of course, when they arrived, I was the youngest of three boys. It was, "How you grown, dear?" Now, you don't actually want that. And they were very clean, personally. As part of their gifts to us every year, there were flannels, which are quite handy, and bath salts. Bath salts that we never used. I don't recall ever in my life having a bath with bath salts. They used to sort of stay in a drawer and crumble. And then we used to get rid of them before they came next Christmas. And then they went home. And we were back to normal till next year. We could relax. But if they'd come to stay, that would have been a bombshell. It would have changed our lives. Would have meant radical adjustments. Probably, I suspect, too much for us. Christians believe that at Christmas we remember that God in Christ has come to stay, to make his home with us, so that things don't actually get back to normal when our celebration is over. That's what the incarnation means. The Word became flesh. Jesus embodied God's character and nature. And in Jesus we see God's agenda and standards being lived out here on earth. As our reading said, he is the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end. Talking of his kingdom, the Old Testament dealt with words like justice and right and peace. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus was full of grace and truth, that all the fullness of God dwelt in him. John, in his letter, sums it all up as love. So Christmas is about God coming to stay, to reveal that even in a world of greed, hatred, and war, love is the ultimate enduring truth for our world and our lives, however unlikely it may seem. Love that never comes to an end and which rejoices in the truth, offering the opportunity and challenge, it seems to me, for transformation at all scales in all our relationships. Love and truth could be the foundations of our world and could permeate all aspects of the debates that we have about climate change, terrorism, poverty, the economy. This is God's plan, his agenda. Just imagine rational debate in politics at all levels. No more posturing or sniping or point scoring, the things that politicians do. No never listening to anyone else. In the debate about climate change, it depends what newspaper you read. There's a bloke who writes in The Guardian saying it's all happening, going to be doom and gloom, and there's a bloke who writes in The Telegraph every Sunday saying climatic change is not something we've caused. And from time to time, they get very personal, and they score points off each other. It seems to me totally pathetic that you never get an idea of what the truth might be. Just imagine if politicians were open to the truth. What is the truth? Well, there's a Venezuelan carol that has some phrases in as to what it might be because Jesus Christ is born. He comes to bring us a new world. Freedom is coming to all. Justice is coming to all. There will be no more oppression. He comes to teach us love. Throw off the shackles of hatred. It really would be and could be a new world. Not only at the world scale, but in families too. Divorce is at its highest point, I understand, just after Christmas, as families have had the tension of living together closely for about a week and being told they must enjoy each other and enjoy Christmas and celebrate and be nice to each other. And it's too much for some, apparently. I've been a fan of Home and Away for 20 years now. I think I deserve a long service medal. You might think I deserve your deepest sympathy. And that actually is full of evasions in family relationships. The famous key word is, I didn't want you to be upset or hurt, that's why I didn't tell you. But, of course, we'll have no more secrets now, until, of course, next time. But hiding the truth, that shows, and we know, never works. It festers. It ruins everything as it catches up with us in the end. God shows us in Jesus the way to be genuine, when love and truth combine. Think what that would do to the stability of families that politicians are trying to address. And if families were strong and genuine, I reckon that would be a major step in dealing with the growth of gang culture, which I understand now has boys and girls of 14 and 15 killing for trivial reasons. All this agenda of respect, as they call it. It would be a new world then, wouldn't it? And Christians are urged to speak the truth in love. So there's a call to us to live the love that encourages, that believes the best, that is not boastful and puts others first. Not only here at St Mark's or Putney, but in all our dealings and comments with regard to other believers, some of whom we might think extremely strange and to have ideas that we can't remotely begin to understand. For God in Christ has come to stay. To show us kingdom values that we can begin to live as his love dwells in us. He stirs and calls us to action, to be the salt and light that our whole world so desperately needs. We are actually called, you know, to give it a go. Some people say to me the problem with sermons is it never tells you what to do. I think perhaps sometimes we have to think that through for ourselves. But we are, I think, called to give this love and truth thing, to give it a real go. No one should pretend that it is easy, but it needs us really to resolve, and we can do that before the new year, to try to live the words that so easily can trip off our tongues. How about love and truth to be the basis of my life and your life consistently? From now on, it may be costly. It took Jesus to the cross, but it is, we believe, God's truth that his love wins in resurrection. So nothing can separate us from it. Nothing can separate us, not even death itself, from the love of Christ. It is, though, of course, however long we've been Christians, however much we try to live the life of love. It is a potential revolution. Some people aren't up for it and run a mile. Some see it as a threat. Some try to ignore it. Others embrace it, just of course as at the first Christmas. So the question is this December 2008, how about you and me? You see, it really might be desperately important because this whole Christmas thing might actually, really, not just be a beautiful story, but it might be true. Listen to the words of John Betjeman. And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent and hideous tie so kindly meant, no love that in a family dwells, no carolling in a frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine.